Well, good morning. After an introduction like that, I feel like I've got a lot to live up to. But first, I just want you to know I really consider it a privilege every week to be with you, but especially today in sharing the Word of God with you. If you're new to One Harbor, we typically preach through books of the Bible, chapter by chapter. It's something I've really appreciated about the church. But this year, starting a new year off, we decided to preach through our values as a church, to kind of remind ourselves of what we consider to be most important. So the first week, it was on the gospel. Everything we believe flows from that. It transforms who we are, what we do. Then we reflected on how the gospel leads us into a life of worship. Last week, we talked about being committed in gospel community. And now this week, we'll talk about, as Brian said, our fourth value, which is mission. So when I say the word mission to you, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you hear the word mission? For me, I think of the military. Being in a military area, I don't know if it's that or what, but there's just something about the military that just stirs something in me. I've read books on from Navy SEALs to just generals of armies. And now just lately, my wife and I, we've gotten hooked on the TV show SEAL Team, which I'm sure is, you know, perfectly authentic. But no, it is. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And while I think a lot of what I enjoy about it are the heroic storylines and the brotherhood, the camaraderie that forms over a shared mission. But I think there's also just the simplicity of each week they get an assignment, a mission that they pursue with all of who they are. They each have a role and they band together to pursue this mission. As Christians, God gives us a role and a mission. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 through 21, because I think this passage will really help us to see why the mission is so important and a picture of how we can live this out. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to it now, or you can look at the screens above me. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new is come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is God's word. So one thing is pretty clear to me from that. God is about reconciliation. He cares about it deeply. So much so that in verse 15 it says that he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. In the ultimate act of sacrificial love, Jesus gave his life for us. And not only did he give his life for us, he was raised from the dead, proving that he was who he said he was, the God-man who had come to defeat sin and death. Skipping down a few verses more to verse 19, it says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. We know that word reconcile, don't we? Whether it be a couple that reconciles and their marriage is restored, or maybe in a friendship where friends have been split, hung up over some offense. We understand what it means to be alienated in a relationship and to find our way back. And it's a beautiful thing when people reconcile, isn't it?
I think we've all experienced that when someone confesses their wrongdoing to another, especially how they've hurt the relationship, forgiveness is given, and then the relationship is restored. That is a beautiful thing. One of my favorite stories in all of the Bible is the prodigal son story. I think probably because the prodigal son is in many ways myself. And just that picture of, yeah, this son that just blows it all, walks away from a relationship, walks away from his father, disrespects his father, but yet when he comes back, the father forgives him. And doesn't only forgive him, he comes running to him and wants to celebrate, throw a party for this relationship that's restored. In that passage, it talked about the ministry of reconciliation. Guys, that's the gospel. It's the confession of sin, turning from our old ways and asking God to forgive us, trusting that Jesus took our punishment and that we're now forgiven. Our relationship is restored with God once and for all. Guys, that is a big deal. I never want it for me, for us, to take that for granted. The God of the universe, we are restored to him. And then it doesn't end there. That's the crazy thing. We get to start over. How many times in life do you want a do-over, a fresh start? The past is the past. And in verse 17, it says, we see that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We get that fresh start, a new beginning. Last week, Brian read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And not only do we become citizens of the kingdom of God, we're adopted in as members of the household of God, the royal family, considered sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, fully loved, fully accepted. And rather than just leave us on the sidelines or take us to heaven, God in his infinite wisdom calls us to join him on his mission. It's as if he's saying, come, join me on my mission, see what I'm about, and see my power. I think, you know, with that as a parent, I can totally relate. You know, I want my kids to feel the security of their relationship, to know that I love them no matter what, but I also just really want them to be with me. I want to share life with them. I want them to see what matters most, to see how life can be lived. And I think that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to participate in this ministry of reconciliation to help others find their way back to God, because it's in him that we find the fullness of life that our hearts crave. So this series, The Good News Changes Everything, it gives us a new identity, new roles, and a new purpose, a mission. We see in the passage that God gives us this role as ambassadors for Christ. I mean, what a cool thing, ambassadors for Christ. I like this role because I think when I think of roles, it helps me to understand what I should then do. So I think this picture of an ambassador maybe will help us as we understand our mission. So as we think about ambassadors for Christ, think of the kingdom of God less as a territory, you know, the old kind of King Knights of the Round Table movies where there's a territory, a land that they're about. Think of it less as a kingdom of a territory and more of a kingship. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus rules and reigns in the hearts of his followers. This is why we call him our Savior and Lord. Jesus becomes our King. And just as ambassadors represent nations and kingdoms, we're called to represent our King. In the message, we see the word implore. We implore people to be reconciled to God. That conveys a sense of urgency. So when we think about this ambassadorship, I would encourage you to think of it as if it's in a wartime. There's a sense of urgency to this. There's a lot at stake. So what exactly does an ambassador do? Well, I'm sure an ambassador does a lot of things, but their primary assignment is to represent the nation or kingdom that they're from. Everything they do and say must represent the king who isn't physically there. In other words, the work of an ambassador is incarnational. Their words and actions embody that king who isn't there. They show others what is important to that king, what the king values. They represent him. It's more of a lifestyle than a job. So let's face it, how we live our lives in response to the gospel matters. I think all of us have heard someone in our life say that either they've left the church or maybe that they don't even want to give the church a chance, God a chance, because of the life they've seen lived by Christians. And while that's maybe not fair, I mean, we're not called to live a perfect life, I think it does show us that our lives matter. We do influence people and in how they see God and see God's kingdom. You know, when you think about it, when we are acting in a way that doesn't fit the kingdom, we're giving them a picture of the kingdom of God that's inconsistent with what maybe they've heard or what they've thought. Or maybe it's reinforced that this is all, you know, just make-believe. It's not real. Let me ask you this. When you think about your life, what's it currently telling people about Jesus? It's a sobering question. When I was writing that question, I thought for myself, man, how often do I convey that the smaller things of life are really important? So as ambassadors, we need to be very consciously representing Jesus, servant-hearted, full of love and compassion for people. And since Jesus is all about this ministry of reconciliation, that's what we should be about. When we're with people, the primary question on our minds should be, how can I best represent my king in this place with this person right now? I think I would act a little differently. And I think this will guide us into an all-of-life mission, as opposed to just some check-the-box type thing where we add a little bit of Jesus to our lives, but we're pretty much doing our thing our way as if we're still king. And I think for some of us, and I know this has been me, I've almost misunderstood ministry. I've limited it to a Sunday morning, whether from the stage or a staff person or even a volunteer, like it's just these certain moments in time, when in reality, that's true, but there's so many more moments and perhaps even more meaningful for people to engage with God. He wants us to be on call in every conversation and every interaction. Back in our passage in verse 15, it says that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. We now live under the rule and reign of Jesus. We live for something greater than ourselves. Let's remember that Jesus said to be his disciples, we must die to ourselves. We must surrender not just to be saved from sin, but from continuing on our quest to be about our kingdom. Jesus also said that we can't serve two masters. It's either going to be him or ourselves. And I know how things work when it's me. So we need to trust that Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. He gave us life, and then he saved our life. Why would he do that if there wasn't good things for us? He loves us. He's proven it over and over again. He wants the best for us. The best life is found in following him wherever he leads. So how do we go about living this ambassador lifestyle, living this mission in everyday life? So with this last section, I'm going to get really practical as I can get. Some of the things that I've learned from other people, I've learned the hard way. And the first is, I think it starts by stewarding well what God has already given us. Start there. This isn't about adding more things to your life, busying you up. It's about us being more intentional with the life we already have. Who do you love? Who are the people that God has put in your life? Who do you care about? Maybe it's friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. What are the groups that you're already in that you believe are important, that you enjoy? Let's focus on appreciating those people. Add value to their life. Let's look to encourage them in the faith. What do you love? Whatever it is, do it for the glory of God. Enjoy it. God has blessed you with that gift That's not an accident. He's created us. So if you love to fish, man, fish. If you love to surf, surf. If you love to read books, read books. Whatever it is that makes your heart sing, press into that, enjoy it. But also see it as an opportunity to create a bridge to other people that might have an interest in that. One of the coolest things when we first moved here, we heard about a group of guys out at Fort Macon that some of them were some old timers too, that had surfed their whole life. And rather than just being by themselves and surfing, they decided to teach kids to surf. And so for, I forget, it was 2-3 hours a Saturday morning, they would go out there and patiently teach these little kids how to surf. But what I thought was really cool was about halfway through, they would take a break, they would gather everybody on the beach, and they would share their stories about life and about what Jesus has meant to them. Think about that. For a kid to hear an adult that is, in their minds, the coolest thing. They're a surfer, teaching them how to do something they're really interested in, and now they're talking about life and talking about what Jesus has meant to them. I would imagine that's going to stand out in their memory. Who knows what God might do with that in the life of that child. So we get to use our interests like that to build bridges to be able to share the most important things of life with them, to share Jesus. So what is it for you? Is it water activities, surfing, boating, fishing, going to shack? Is it crafts, books, sports? Do you like parties? I like parties. We've got Super Bowl coming up. Just one example of a way that, man, we can enjoy life but invite other people into it for reasons beyond just the temporary joy of that moment. And let's remember that ministry doesn't just happen on Sundays. It can happen in all of these moments. But that said, it can also happen on Sundays. And I don't think we should look past that. Sometimes we talk about the church gathered and the church scattered. Well, for us to scatter well, I believe that we need to gather well. What I mean by that is for us to be good ambassadors, we need to be anchored in the kingdom. We need to be experiencing it. I mean, imagine for a moment, just to illustrate this point, you heard about an ambassador for a country that hadn't been back home in years. And talk to anyone. They're just disconnected from this kingdom, this king that they represent. I would imagine they would start to act way more like the nation that they're a part of and lose just that touch of what made their original kingdom special. I know I've done that, where I just start to act like the people around me. I lose the flavor. So it needs to be fresh in our minds and our hearts. What is special about the kingdom of God? And that requires personal time with Jesus. It requires being together with his people. We see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we get to live that ambassador lifestyle as the church gathered. On Sunday mornings, as we serve, whether in formal roles, whether it be greeting or setting out communion, serving in kids' ministry, on the stage, leading worship, or even informally, just as we gather and we talk with people, we listen, we encourage, we smile, we pray for one another, those moments matter. As we befriend people, sometimes people come in and that's really what they need, is a friend. That's how God might bless them. So let's invite someone to lunch, whether it be to our home, going to our restaurant, you can share a meal with them, love them, encourage them, pray for them. In community groups, we have a great opportunity for this. As we live humbly, not thinking less of ourselves, but more of others, thinking more highly of them, let's talk with people and really listen. Value who they are, what's going on in their life. Be more about them than what we get out of it. Let's share stories of God's faithfulness in our life, our struggles. And then we get to actually be the church scattered, and we get to do that well. Because if we're not careful, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of these holy huddles. this idea of a, you know, a church group, a community group that's just all about themselves. Imagine for a moment, I just mentioned the Super Bowl. Imagine you're watching the Super Bowl and the Patriots, they never break the huddle. It's like, after a while, it's like, what's going on? He'd start throwing stuff at the screen, fans would boo, it's just so out of place. But too often, that can be us. We keep talking about running the play, we keep talking about it, but we never actually run the play. So here's just one way to approach this. I learned this some years ago from a pastor in Chicago. His name's Dave Ferguson. It stuck with me. I hope this sticks with you. And that's the idea of being a blessing, to bless someone and to see it as an acronym, B-L-E-S-S. The B stands for be with God in prayer and in his word. Get away from the whirlwind of life. It's just full of distractions. Let's spend time with God. Think of what God has done so that we could be with him, for us to not enjoy that and to press into it. That is just a huge loss, a huge miss. When we do that, we remind ourselves of just how amazing Jesus is and the life he offers. Let's be grateful for all these blessings God's given us and to imagine, man, how might we appreciate these people, these places? Let's pray for them. Let's ask God for direction. So that's the B, be with God. And then the L is, let's listen to God. I know so often when I'm praying, or even when I'm reading the Bible, I'm looking for what I want, but I'm not listening for what God wants for me. A question that can be really helpful is to say, what now, Lord? What now, Lord? It's almost within the question is a sense of surrender. And then after we ask it, let's listen for direction, for leading. Sometimes it may just be an idea that we hadn't thought of. If you've ever had those moments, man, that is a really powerful, humbling moment when you believe the God of the universe is talking to me right now. Or maybe it's from the Word. You just start reading and you go, wow, this is what God has for me. And I think it helps when we go to the Word already ready for whatever he has for us to say, I am going to follow you in whatever you have for me. To put your yes on the table. Remember verse 16, it says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't think of them as the world thinks of them. Whether it be beauty, money, power, the things that we're drawn to, now, the way of Jesus is thinking about the ones that are marginalized, the weak, the ones that are set apart. So let's think about who are those people in our life, and let's pick one or two. Whether it be someone we love and we've not cherished that relationship as we should, or maybe it's just that person that God's placed on our heart and our mind. But let's focus on them and let's listen. When we eat with them, that's the E in bless, eat with others. Share a meal and time with people. I think one of my biggest pushbacks when I think of living a life of mission is, I'm so busy, where am I going to find the time for this? Well, I think we all eat, usually 20, 21 meals a week, right? Why don't we invest the time we're already spending just differently? Include people in that. If you're with a Christian, bring your Bible. Bring a passage maybe from that morning where you were with God. Ask to pray for them. One of the most powerful, and this could be with a Christian, non-Christian, one of the most powerful questions can be, or to say to someone, you know, I love to pray for the people in my life. How can I best be praying for you? And I'm blown away. I mean, sometimes I might have just met them as a stranger. You ask that question, and then all of a sudden, they might talk about a marriage that's fallen apart, a fear that they have, something that's really weighing down their soul. Excuse me. Just by asking the question, how can I pray for you? So there's a pastor in the UK by the name of Tim Chester, and he's got this idea about meals bringing mission into the ordinary. I think so often I fall in the trap of thinking it needs to be this like big grand plan, this program to reach people and to bless them and kind of this big orchestration of volunteers and this and that, when in reality, how special can a meal be? People gather over food. They connect hearts. It leads the conversation. So the meal itself won't save people, but it might create an environment where you can have a conversation that could lead to them finding their way back to God, whether it be for the first time or to be reconciled from just a wandering away. So in that, we ask questions, we listen, we enjoy them, enjoy the food, enjoy the people, laugh, encourage their spirit, schedule it, and invite last-minute little impromptus. Hey, we got some extra food. Who should we invite over? And sometimes just even having, like Brian or someone mentioned recently, that John Lewis has Friday Nights for Jesus, where, you know, it's not the same people every week, but that night is reserved. You know what? We're always going to invite people over, and we're going to get to know them, enjoy them, have fun, and see what God might do. So we schedule it. We invite people. And just a practical suggestion, budget for it. If you guys are going out, it costs money. Budget. Set aside some money for it. You know, our calendars and our checkbooks show us a lot about our priorities. If you think about it, it shows us how we're stewarding our time and our money if we look at what's on our calendar and what's on our checkbook. And then getting to the S in bless is to serve. Let's respond to the needs of others. Let's start with listening. Ask questions. Let's live humbly, not thinking less of ourselves, but more of them. Let's meet the needs of what they've shared over that meal when we're asking questions and we're listening. What can I do today or this week for this person to really bless them? Something that's going to stand out. Surprise them. People love surprises. Do you like to be surprised? Like a really cool surprise goes a long way. It stands out. I mean, that's just special. To encourage them to meet physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. So let's be generous with our words, our actions, our forgiveness. And I think the goal of it is, it's kind of a personal challenge, let's treat them so well that they ask, why? Why are you doing this for me? I had an opportunity some years ago to be a part of a group called Touch Twice United. And the whole kind of mission there was to meet a physical need, to then talk about the spiritual. And man, we would do our best to just bless people, whether it be having them see doctors, giving them clothes, food, whatever it was that they needed. And I loved when they would say, why are you doing this? It was such an opportunity. And this is one of the areas where you can learn from me on what not to do. Way too often, I would kind of take credit for it. You know, maybe not saying, oh, I'm great, but, oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal, and we get to point to God and to share our story. This is why we're doing it. God has changed my life. He's blessed me, and though I love to be a blessing to others, I feel like he wants to bless you right now. He loves you, and share part of your story. Which leads us to the last S, which is story. Share your story and what God has done for you. Let's face it, God has wired us to love stories. That's why we watch movies, TV shows, books. We tell stories. Stories are powerful. But I think a lesson learned is to not boast in our heroic things, but boast in our weaknesses, where we've struggled, to be open, to be brave in that, and to point to how powerful and strong God is, what he's meant for us. And it doesn't need to be some grand story. Sometimes it can be as simple as when someone asks you, hey, what's new? To, if this is part of your story, to say, well, actually, I've been going to church this year. And, you know, I've really enjoyed it. I'm like, I just love the gospel. It gives me such hope. And I'm seeing Jesus in a new light. Just that little bit might stand out to somebody. Remember that we're called to be witnesses, to testify to what Jesus has done for us. So be brave enough to share your story and how Jesus is meeting you where you're at. You know, and with this, I mean, hopefully this isn't sacrilegious, but I think of like word of mouth marketing. I'm a former business guy, and I mean, that is like the most powerful advertising is when you have people talking about what it is that you want to share. I don't know about you, but I mean, I might look into the facts and the figures and the specs for something, but I care a lot more about if a friend of mine has bought it, if they've experienced it. It's why more often than not, I'll go to Amazon, even if I'm not going to buy something from Amazon, just to read the reviews on it. I want to hear what someone's experience with it has been. And that's what we get to do. We get to share our experience with Jesus with others. I think so often we think of, oh, we're going to have to prove God exists and all these crazy things that someone might ask, as opposed to just, man, what's our story? What do we get to share with somebody? So as we go out on this mission, let's remember a couple things. We don't do this to be loved. We do it because we are loved. And not by just anybody, but by the God of the universe. Think about that. That is like a crazy thing. We are loved by the God of the universe. And because of Jesus, God sees us as he sees him. Fully loved, secure in that. And we want others to get in on it. I love when Brian says that. Like, we want others to get in on this because it's the most amazing thing ever. For eternity, we get to be with the God of the universe as sons and daughters. That is an amazing thing. And let's remember that we're not Jesus. When we do this, we are not Jesus. We only represent him. And this is important because it's God that saves. It's God that changes hearts. It's tempting to try and be people's savior, even with the best of intentions. But that is ultimately crushing. It's going to disappoint them when we fall through. It's going to be disappointing for us when we don't measure up. We're not Superman. We're not meant to be that. But Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one who can do it. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even have a mission. So as we prepare to come to the communion table, and the band can come up now, let's go back to the last verse of our passage in 2 Corinthians 5. This is verse 21. It says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So the one who knew no sin is Jesus. God made him to be sin. This means that God the Father made Jesus to be regarded and treated as sin, even though Jesus himself had never sinned. You want to talk about unfair. And we see that God did this for our sake, for you and for me. In becoming sin for our sake, Jesus became our substitute. He took the punishment that we deserve. So now we take communion to remember his body broken for us. His body broken for us, his blood spilled for us for the forgiveness of our sins. It was in that amazing act of love, giving his life, that we can enjoy communion with each other and especially with God for eternity. So take a moment to consider this. Talk with God. Confess any sin, anything that is getting in the way of your relationship with him. If I've said something this morning that maybe has brought about a sense of conviction, a sense of, man, I've fallen short in that area, don't let that take root into shame. Confess it. Jesus died to forgive your sin, to reconcile you to God. And then when you're ready, come forward. Come forward. Yeah. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, maybe it's something you're thinking about, you're exploring, know that there's an invitation for you, an invitation to be reconciled to God. He loves you. He doesn't want there to be a barrier between you and him any longer. And the way to knock down that barrier is through Jesus. So take a few moments to consider this and then come forward and enjoy communion.